Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
Good morning, everyone. So good to see faces here this morning, new faces as well. For those of you who are new in our midst, a very good morning. Welcome to Covenant EFC. It's such a joy to have you present with us this morning. You could have been anywhere around the world, around Singapore. You could have been working out, going to the gym, going shopping, but you chose to be here this morning. Thank you so much. And I believe this morning God has a special appointment with you. You're not here by chance. You may have came in by yourself, or you came in because you've been invited by a friend. I want to let you know you're not here by chance. God has an appointment with you this morning. And I believe that if you allow Him to meet you where you're at, He will encounter you personally, especially for those online as well. Welcome online. It's such a joy to have you tune into our online service. Several years ago, my wife, Elle, was accompanying her cousin to an open audition. And this open audition was pretty special because it was the first open audition run by a K-pop agency. And the open audition's goal was to find Singaporeans who form a K-pop band. This was the first time when they came. That was many years ago. My wife, Elle, accompanied her cousin because her cousin wanted to audition. And so she agreed, and they went, and they saw this long line as expected. Everyone wants to be a K-pop star. So there were people practicing their song, practicing their act, practicing their dance, and they were just lining up. And as they drew closer to the audition room, the staff members started to give out tech numbers for them to wear. And so eventually they came to the audition room, and then the staff member then gave a tech to Elle's cousin, which was what she came for. And then the staff member turned to Elle and she gave a tech to also Elle. Then she's like, huh? Wait, what do you mean? I'm here to accompany my cousin. I'm not here to audition for anything. I'm not interested. Then the staff member looked back at her and said, oh, sorry. We already put you into the audition list because the moment you queue up means you are part of the audition. So now you also have a tech. And so she's like, huh? What do you mean? I came unprepared. What do you want me to do? And it was only like one, two people ahead of them. And so she, on the spot, she's like, let me think. Because Elle doesn't listen to any K-pop song. She doesn't watch any K-drama. So she's like, let me just sing an English song at a Korean K-pop audition. Anyways, it's just for fun, right? That's what she did. She went to the audition. She sang an English song at a Korean K-pop audition. And then she's like, okay, finally done. Let's get back home. And so they gathered everyone who auditioned, and they called out the people who were shortlisted. And surprise, Elle's cousin was not selected. But you know what's the real surprise? The surprise was that Elle was selected to the next round. So she came accompanying her cousin, and then she ended up being in this audition shortlisting thing. And so she went for another round, and eventually it came down to 10 people. They had to shortlist 10 people who will be sent to Korea for the K-pop training. And surprise, guess what? Elle made it through the top 10. And so she ended up being the top 10 to be selected to go to Korea for training. And it only sunk in what that meant when she was asked to go to the rooftop of MBS. There was a press release. There were reporters coming in to take pictures of the 10 people who will be sent to form a K-pop band. And that was when she said, oh, sorry. Not interested. I really don't want to do this. And of course, her parents weren't exactly wanting her to do it as well. So, full of surprises in this whole journey when she was just simply accompanying a friend. And this morning, we are not looking at K-pop. We are looking at the surprises this Christmas. Because as some of you may be familiar with Christmas, and some of you may be like, what is Christmas all about? You may be wondering, why is there always this talk about this baby that comes during Christmas, this baby called Jesus? What's so special about Christmas? This morning, we'll be looking at the Christmas story. And in this Christmas story lies three greatest surprises that you and I can ever receive. Three greatest surprise from a very familiar text that we'll be reading in a few moments after I pray for us. So shall we pray? Father, we give thanks for this time where we have together. We ask that you speak to us this morning through your word, by your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This morning I titled the message as Surprise. And this morning we'll come to learn about the three surprises that God shows us through the Christmas story. If you were to summarize the Christmas story in one verse, this would be the verse. Shall we read John 3:16 together? Ready? One, two, go. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Today we're not looking at few verses, we're just going to look at one verse this morning. And it's a famous, probably the most famous verse in the Bible, to which we Christians, for the pre-believers, this is what we read, and we believe that the Holy Bible is what God has given to us for all that we have to know about who He is, and He speaks to us through His Word. And in this verse, we'll come to learn three surprises, three surprising truths about Christmas this morning. So let's dive into John 3:16 together. The first part of John 3:16, we will come to see the first surprise. The first surprise is that God loves you. Now, you may be wondering, what's so surprising about it? Some of you may think, I'm so lovable. What is there not to love about me? We can simply ask your friends, your family, and see how lovable you are. Or on the other hand, some of you may feel, I don't think God loves me. I've done so many things in my life. I don't think I'm worthy to be loved by anyone. Some of you may be in this category. But in any case, we see the reality of the truth spoken in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And the world represents you and I. All of humanity, that's the world. And the Bible tells us God so loved the world. Turn to someone next to you and say, God loves you. God loves you. You know, sometimes it's hard to believe that God loves you and I. And for those of you who are non-Christians, you may say, when I look at the world, there's so many sufferings. There's so many chaos and things happening in the world. How can it be possible that there is first a God? And more importantly, how can it be possible that there is a God who loves the world when we see so much chaos happening, wars happening around the world, diseases, outrage of all kinds of modesty against humanity? But this morning, we come to read and understand that God truly does love you and I. But it doesn't solve the tension and the problem to which we see today. How can we reconcile the reality that God loves the world, but we see so many things happening in the world that it's like, you mean this is love? I present to you this morning as Christians, we understand and we reconcile this reality with this three-letter word. This three-letter word, S-I-N, called sin. See, when God created the world, God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And when God created the world in Genesis, He created a world that was perfect. He created a world where He would be living and dwelling with all of humanity in His creation. There was no death, there was no decay, there was no problems at all. And see, God gave humanity a very special task. God made humans in the image of God. And one of the tasks that He gave to the human race through Adam and Eve was this, that you are to be fruitful and multiply. You are to rule and have dominion over all the earth. That is your role on earth. But there was one exception to which He said, you must not do. You can eat of anything in the Garden of Eden, but you cannot and you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, God gave human beings, you and I, something called free will. It's the ability to choose. See, in any relationship, there needs to be a choice. You can't force someone to be in a relationship with you. It has to be a choice made by both parties to say, I will enter into this relationship willingly. And so God gave humanity free will to choose whether they want to obey what He says or disobey. And in the Bible, it tells us in Genesis 3 that Adam and Eve, they chose to disobey God and eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as a result from that comes this three-letter word, S-I-N, sin. And ever since then, the whole of creation, not just humanity, the whole of creation has now been plagued by sin. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. And so ever since then, all of humanity has been plagued by something more contagious than COVID-19, is something called sin, S-I-N. All of us have this in us. But even though it started like that, with sin entering the world, we begin to see God's love story unfolding. We see God's love story unfolding from Genesis all the way to the very last book in the Bible, in Revelation. We begin to see God's love story. This love story is the best love story that you can ever read. Better than any fairy tale that you have read, children. Better than any fairy tale. Better than any love story song that you have ever listened to. Even better than Taylor Swift. And we begin to see what God's love is truly about. See, the Bible describes God's love not as a human kind of love. It is a love that is a special category just for God. And it's called agape love. It's a love that is unconditional. In other words, I choose to love you regardless of how you respond. Whether you reject my love, whether you take my love for granted, I'm still going to choose to love you. Basically, it's not expecting anything in return. That's what it means to have unconditional love. And that's the love that is described of God for the world, for you and I. For God so loved the world. You know, just last week I was in Bali for a fitness retreat with my wife. And one day before that, I actually strained my back. I don't know how I strained my back, but it was so bad that I was unable to even walk properly. I had to walk really slowly. I couldn't even bend down at all. So my range of motion and movement was very limited just one day before the trip. And I was really sad because I was looking forward to this fitness retreat that happens once a year. And so I went. I was really sad. I was asking God, God, can you please allow me to participate? But I was still unable to. And on day three, I was heading back to the hotel and I saw this sign. This sign says, Jesus has your back. And I was just thinking to myself, I've seen signs that says Jesus loves you. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus can give you new life. But I've never seen Jesus has your back. It's like never before in a foreign country that is not a Christian nation. And so I was like, this message is probably for me. Jesus has your back because it's metaphorically and physically true. Like, are you trying to say that, Jesus, you got my back? You got this settled and you also will heal my back? I was like, okay, this is a message maybe for me. And so, okay, I claim it. I believe that this message is for me. Jesus, you have my back. And so I pray, I said, God, would you please heal my back so that I'm able to be able to join in with the rest for the fitness retreat. And I kid you not, on that same day when I saw that sign, Jesus has your back, at the end of the day, Jesus truly had my back. He healed my back completely. My range of motion from here, it became like full motion where I'm able to bend down all the way. That was Jesus truly having my back. Let's give God all the glory. I share with you this story because sometimes you feel that Jesus loves the person on the left and on the right. You might be like, yeah, Jesus loves you. That's good for you. But I don't think Jesus loves me. I want to let you know that Jesus loves you so much that He will show up to you in such a personal way that there's no way for you to deny the fact that He loves you. And if you allow Him to come into your life, if you allow Him to come and be your Lord and Savior, I tell you, my friends, that you will encounter Jesus in such a personal way that it's like there's no way for you to deny the presence of God. And just as how I experienced that personal message to me about Jesus having my back, I believe in your circumstance, in your situation, that God can show up and encounter you so personally that He will transform your life from the inside out if you allow Him to. That's the first message we come to see, the first surprise, that God truly does love the world, that God loves you and I. The second surprise we see from this verse, John 3:16, is that God gave His all for you. God gave His all for you. If we look at the second phrase here in John 3:16, before we do so, I want to put this phrase up for you. If I were to ask you this question, if I were to ask you to fill in this blank, what would you say? I love you so much that I will blank. I'll give us a few moments to think, what would that blank be? I love you so much that I will. Some of you are laughing. Some of you are smiling. Different answers for different people. But you know what's God's answer to this question? God's answer to this blank. God's blank. I love you so much. You. His answer to His love for you is found here. His love is expressed through the giving of His only Son. That's the epitome of what love means for God. Now, in the Greek grammar, the English doesn't really do justice to the expression, but in the Greek grammar, it essentially is saying that God gave His all. God gave everything. God went all in. That's how much He loves you and I. He didn't just give a bit. Like if you were to ask Bill Gates to give $1,000, $1,000 to him probably would mean nothing. But if you were to ask Bill Gates to give everything, that would mean something. And that, for God, God's everything is His only Son. And He chose to give everything for you and I. That's what it means to love you and I. He gave His all for us. The Romans 5:8 tells us, but God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, we have to understand this, that in our current condition, we, in and of ourselves, we can't be able to get out of the condition that we are in, which is we are filled with sin. There is nothing that we can do on our own efforts. No amount of money we can earn, no amount of status, no amount of positions we can acquire that will enable us to be relinquished of our sin in our lives. There is no way. There is no way. But God made a way. Through His Son Jesus, and by doing so, He gave His all by giving His one and only Son. How many of you are familiar with this song, Last Christmas? Regardless of what generation you come from, you would probably recognize this song. It goes like this. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I give it to someone special. It's a song you probably hear in shopping centers. It's a song to which you hear in everywhere around the shops around the world during Christmas time. I share with you these lyrics here today because it gives us a glimpse of how the world understands what it means to love someone. When we give of our hearts our love to someone, and when it's not reciprocated the way we desire, we take it back and we give it to someone else to save us from tears. That's the narrative of the world. But thanks be to God, we have a God who does not subscribe to this narrative. We have a God who loves us so much that regardless of how we choose to respond to what He has done, His invitation, His gift is still made available today You may have rejected Jesus last Christmas. You may have rejected Jesus during Easter. You may have fallen away from Jesus yesterday, but today it is still made available. Because Jesus has gave it all and His gift continues to remain available. There is no expiration date to Jesus' gift. That's the beauty. That's the kind of love that God shows to you and I. It is always readily available should you choose to accept it. Philippians 2:6-8 tells us a little bit more about the story of Christmas, about why is the birth of Jesus so significant. It says this, who, though He, Jesus, referring to Jesus here, He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's why the Christmas season is so significant in the Christian world. Because if there is no the birth of Jesus, there is no the blood of Jesus. Let me say that again. When there is no birth of Jesus, there is no blood of Jesus. And that's why the birth of Jesus is so significant, because it ushers in a new reality. It ushers in a new hope that we no longer are living without hope. We are now living with hope because now there is the birth of Jesus that represents the ability to get out from our sinful state and to be able to enter into a new life found in Christ. All because God gave His all for you and I. That's the second surprise we see. Why would an all-powerful, all-knowing God give His all for you and I? It is because He loves you. It is because He loves you, and that's the reason why He gave His all for you. In other words, the one who owed us nothing gave us everything. And on the other hand, if you think about it, we who owed God everything gave Him nothing. Can you see the power of God's love? The height, the depth, the length of God's love for you and I. That's why the birth of Jesus is so significant. But the third and final surprise that we see in John 3:16, not only does God love you, not only does God love you, that God gave His all for you, third and final thing is that God invites you. Let's look at the final part of John 3:16. It says that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. The key word here is whoever. Whoever classifies anyone and everyone. Whatever you think that will disqualify you from receiving this gift that God has to offer to you, it is now qualified in this word, whoever. Whoever includes anyone who is lost, anyone who is broken, anyone who feels guilty, anyone who feels forgotten, anyone who feels overlooked, anyone who feels unworthy, anyone who thinks they made too many mistakes, anyone who thinks that because the world says, I am this, therefore I am this to God. The Bible says, whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is the greatest truth and reality that you must know and grasp, especially in a world where the famous word of the year is rich bait. Think about it. The world has transformed so much to the point that the word of the year is rich bait. That's how crazy our world has become. In light of all the world throws at you, I want you to remember this very important truth. That God includes and God invites you. Regardless of what you have done, regardless of what you are doing, regardless of what you will do in the future. That's what it means when it says whoever. Whoever means everyone and anyone. But the condition to receive this gift is important. The condition, the only condition to receive this gift is found in the next verb. It says whoever believes in him. There is one condition to receive this gift, and to receive this gift is to believe in Jesus, to believe in who Jesus is and what he has done. That Jesus came, born as a human, fully God and yet fully human, led a sinless life so that he is able to go to the cross to take the sins of the world, past, present, and future. That by taking the sins of the world, he might be able to give us the opportunity for our sins to die with him. And in 3 days later, he rose again, representing the new life that we can find in him. That's what it means to believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the Lord of your life, that he truly has taken the sins of your life, buried it, and resurrected it with a new life that is found in him. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. That's the only condition to be able to receive this gift that God has to offer. And it tells us the result of believing in Jesus is that none should perish, but have eternal life. We were destined for a path of destruction. We were destined for a path of eternal separation. Hell is basically not a place, but it is the absence of God. It is the separation from the Creator God. And eternal life is basically a space to which we are able to be with God forever. That's what eternal life is. And through Jesus, when we choose to put our faith in Jesus, when we say, I choose to believe who Jesus is, we now are given eternal life. And that is the invitation that God has for you and I. He invites any and everyone to accept this gift. And the condition to accept the gift is to believe in him. And this life would go beyond the life to which we live in today. You may live 90 years, 100 years, but 100 years in comparison to a life after you die is negligible. That's what eternal life is, a life that's after death. Where do you go after you die? We Christians, we believe, we know for certain where we are going to go. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus, because we have inherited eternal life. John 14, 6 tells us, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Listen to the last sentence. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way to receive eternal life. There is no other way except through believing in Jesus. That's the only way. And this morning, God offers you and invites you to receive this gift wherever you're at. Three surprises from John 3:16 that we just read. The first is that God loves you. Secondly, is God gave his all for you. And finally, God invites you, regardless of your background, regardless of your history, he invites you in and he presents to you the gift made available today, should you choose to accept that gift. You know, how many of you are familiar with this place? This place is actually in Brunei. And every single year during Hari Raya Haji, for 3 days during Hari Raya Haji, the Sultan of Brunei would open up the palace and he will welcome anyone and everyone to his palace. And the royal family will come and shake the hands of every individual that comes in as a guest to the palace. And they will have a sit-down meal with anyone and everyone until the capacity is filled. Anyone can come in. They will shake hands with every single one that comes in, the royal family. Isn't that amazing? For the royal family, do that every single year for 3 days. Anyone can come in. They will sit down and have a meal together in a large banquet setting. Pretty incredible, right? But this morning, when God invites you and I to receive this gift of life found in Him, we are not just entering His place as guests. Let me say that again. We're not entering God's kingdom as a guest. God is inviting us not just to come for a meal. God is inviting us to come not as a guest, but to come as part of His family member. God is inviting you to become sons and daughters of His kingdom. Not as a guest for a meal, but as sons and daughters of His kingdom, where you too will have a place in His kingdom. And this morning, this is exactly what God is inviting you and I to, those online and on site. God is inviting you to enter into His kingdom, not as a guest, but as His family member, as a son and daughter. And the way we become sons and daughters, not by birth, but through Jesus, it is by believing in who Jesus is, making Him the Lord and Savior of our lives. That's the invitation that God gives to you and I today. God loves you. God gave His all for you. And God invites you. You know, it's Christmas season, and oftentimes you are familiar with presents. Presents are great. Everyone loves receiving presents. But here's the thing about presents. It is only truly yours until you open it, you accept it, and you receive it. This morning, God places this gift, this present, in front of each and every single one of you. There's no such thing as no more presents. In the kingdom of God, there is countless numbers of presents available. And today, this morning, God places one present like this in front of every single one of you, both here on site and those online. But there's only so much God can do. He has already done all the work. But it is left to you, you who have been given a choice, a free will to choose whether you want to accept it. And this morning, God brings this present before you once more, and He asks, do you choose to accept this gift that I have been preparing for all these years in your life? Three surprises this Christmas. God loved you. God loved you. That's why Christmas happened. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because God loves you. And we see that by God showing how He gave His all. God gave His all. That's why Jesus came. He came as a baby, born as a human, fully human, subjected Himself to the limitations of a human being, led a sinless life. And through His death and resurrection, the third surprise, God invites you. And that's why this morning, my friends, the present is here in front of you. The door is open. And the invitation is, will you choose to accept this gift that God has prepared for you all these years? Even before you were born, He already prepared this gift. The Bible tells us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And this morning, in a couple of moments' time, I want to give you the opportunity, for those of you who are not believers of Jesus, this morning I want to give you the opportunity to accept this invitation through a very simple prayer. But before we do so, I want to give the worship team some time to lead us in this response song, and then I'll come back for a time of response.
Whosoever believes will not perish. they shall have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whosoever believes will not perish, they shall have eternal life.
I shall hold to the cross.
I shall hold to the cross. I shall hold to God.
This morning, I want to speak to two groups of people. First group of people are those who are here. You've accompanied your friend. Your friend asked you along and you came. This morning you came to realize you're not auditioning for something. God has already given you a place. Don't need to audition. God has given you a place. But the only thing that's necessary and needed is a choice to be made by you to believe in Jesus, this gift that God has given to you, believing that He has died for your sins, rose from the dead 3 days later, and by so doing, to be able to give you a new life found in Him. And this morning, if that's you, you feel a stirring in your heart, and you say, perhaps this year, this Christmas, is the year to which I hand my worries, my anxieties, my unknowns in life into the hands of a God who created time and space. Into the hands of a God who loved me. Into the hands of a God who gave His all for me. Into the hands of a God who now invites me to be His son and daughter. Not as a guest, but as the son and daughter of His kingdom this morning. If that is you this morning, I want to pray for you. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to say a simple prayer. And this prayer is a way to seal that decision of yours to say, I want to put my faith in Jesus. And so I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer. You can just simply repeat after me. And so if you are a believer in our midst this morning, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, you say this prayer together with me, okay? And the prayer goes like this. Dear God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus for me. Today I admit that I need you. I turn away from my old life and I place my trust in Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. Give me new life. From today on, I choose to follow you. Thank you for the greatest gift of all. In Jesus' name, amen. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if you just said the prayer for the very first time, you may be someone accompanying your friend, or you have been walking, coming to church, but you have never prayed this prayer before, and you say, today I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to pray for you to seal this prayer. So at the count of three, with no one looking around, I want you to raise your hand at the count of three. One, two, three. Is there anyone in our midst this morning for our second service? You you've never prayed before, but you want to pray to receive Christ this morning. Is there anyone in our midst this morning for second service? I'm going to give us a few moments. When you raise your hands, you are raising your hands to the Lord as a way to say, I choose to follow you this day. Is there anyone here in our midst this morning who wants to pray and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Is there anyone? I'll give us a few more moments for those online as well. Last few moments. Is there anyone? Just quickly raise your hands and put it down, and I will pray for you. Yes, the Lord sees your hands. You may put it down. Is there anyone here in the midst who haven't prayed to receive Christ before? Anyone else? Before I pray for our sister at the front. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much for the gift of salvation this morning. We pray for this dear sister of ours this morning that she chose to trust and put her faith in you this morning. We ask, Lord, that as she chooses this day to follow you, that God, you will come and pour afresh your Spirit in her. That in all areas of her life, may she come to experience your love, your goodness, your faithfulness in her life. And we pray that from this day forth, that she will be able to step in and walk in the newness of life found in Christ Jesus. So Lord, would you anoint her, cover her by the blood of Jesus, anoint her with your Holy Spirit this morning, fill her this day, that through her life, that many will come to know the goodness and the love of God. Thank you, Lord, for this salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There's one more group of people I want to speak to this morning, and it's those of us here who are majority Christians. This morning, as you hear John 3:16, a familiar passage, some of you may feel a bit cold in your heart. Some of you feel, yeah, I know that God loves me, but you don't feel and you don't experience the reality of God's love. You don't feel and experience the reality of the newness of life. You may be a Christian for a long time, but you feel that your life does not reflect the reality of the newness of life. This morning, God wants to give you and empower you afresh the newness of life found in Christ Jesus. So whether you are a backslidden Christian, whether you're a Christian who have been living a nominal Christian life, this morning God wants to offer you a newness of life where you come to experience the miracles, the transformation, the power of God in all arenas of your life. This morning, if this is your desire, this Christmas, make this that change, make this that reality, that radical shift in your life this Christmas, that you begin to see God at work, not in people's life, but in your own life. This morning, if that is you, at the count of three, you raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Is there anyone here in our midst this morning? Yes, the Lord sees your hands all across the room. The Lord sees your hands. 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 Father, you see the hands that have been raised this morning. Father, we desire to live lives that are truly reflective of a life that is found in you. We truly desire to live lives that reflect that Jesus has risen. And we ask this day that you will step into the circumstances of our life, to step into the circumstances of the people who have raised their hands. You, Lord, know exactly what they're going through. In Jesus' name, I pray right now that there may be new breakthroughs in Jesus' name, new breakthroughs in whatever circumstance they're facing, that they may begin to experience the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in them. May you show them and encounter them personally this Christmas, that this Christmas will be a special Christmas, that they will become to live lives not just on Sunday as Christians, but Monday through Sundays, that through their lives people will see the transformation. And so Lord, I pray, Lord, an outpouring of your Holy Spirit this morning on each and every single one of them, that they might live and walk and be empowered by your Holy Spirit to live in the newness of life found in Jesus' name. We ask all this, knowing and believing that you hear our prayers, and God's people say together, Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet and let's sing this bridge together. By His precious love, I have been set free for the glory.
You'd spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.